Good morning. Hallelujah. It is a wonderful day today. Ooh. Just felt that. Hallelujah. Are you guys okay? Amen. Amen. I am so glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise Him and to hear His word together. This is why we're here. Hallelujah. So if you're in the church this morning, it was ordained before the foundation of this earth that you should be here this morning on the 17th of June, 2018. Hallelujah. And you know why I'm saying this? Because I have crossed over Jordan. I have. I am serious. I have crossed over Jordan. And I hope that you are with me. Hallelujah. I hope and pray and I know that you are with me. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some things that are happening. Hallelujah. Russell and Peter are sitting in the front. If these two mighty men of God are sitting in the front of the church, you know something's about to go down. Something is about to go down. You know, you come, yes. Oh, Sunday school. Hallelujah. See, I get fired up and I'm forgetting about Sunday school. Forgive me, children. Forgive me, mothers. Father, let's pray for the Sunday school. Lord, we pray and we release, oh God, your anointing for this day. Father, upon our children who are the future leaders of this country, or future leaders of this church, oh God, men of integrity and principle, men and women of integrity and principle, Father. Lord, we release them right now. We thank you for the helpers and the teachers. Lord, let the word of God come. Let it ignite their spirit, oh God, that they will never be the same again, Father. We pray and we release that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for reminding me. And where were we? Okay, I need to welcome Pastor Jason and Pastor Grace, who are new youth pastors. Can you guys please stand up? We will be ordaining them and installing them in the church. Come on. Come on, youth, get excited. We are not going to be playing church. We are going to really, really take on the kingdom of God. Amen? And these two couples, they were released from YWAM, and they prayed about God positioning them in a place where they can really fully serve to the fullest capacity and purpose. And there's two options that came up. It was West Australia or here. And God directed their path to us. Hallelujah. And I'm excited because I know it's a very strategic plan of God. So welcome Jason and Grace to Living Light Gospel Church. And we're going to have the youth, judges, Felicity and all the young people. We're going to have meet Jason after church, sit down and prepare for something. We're going to launch the youth, a soft launch, and in July we're going to really pump it up, take it up a notch. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for the word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of vision. Lord, you're a God that always, always never forsake us nor leave us. That is your word. That was your word to Moses, and that is your word to Joshua, and that is your word to us today, Father, in the modern church. Father, even just in our families, Lord, we thank you that you've always been faithful. Lord, we bring your word before you. This is your word. This is what you've written in this book. This is the constitution that we live by, Father, of the kingdom of God. And I thank you, God. Let your word go forth. Let your word ignite the spirit and the lives and the hearts of your people, Father. Lord, let them walk out of this door never the same again, that they will take something with them, that your word will always be a guiding light unto their feet. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is power. And Father, we honor that. We pray, Holy Spirit, now you speak through your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. Just stand with me to the book of Malachi. I'm going to start there, but I'll tell you a little testimony before I start. But the book of Malachi, you know, where's my phone? Oh, yeah. Jeez, that's what I need, my glasses. Oh, that's better. You know, I printed everything else except my printer gave up on me on my first page, so I photocopied it on my phone. Let's read Malachi together. Hallelujah. But before I read that word, I wanted to share with you this. 3 Sundays ago, I preached on crossing Jordan. I said I was standing at the banks of Jordan, the spiritual Jordan that you and I are at the moment. And I said, I'm ready to cross. And I asked the question, God, are the people ready to cross with me? You know what? I crossed over. And before I made my way to PNG, God took me to the word in Malachi. And let's read that together. It says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he says, remember the law of Moses, my servant. Which I command him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers, hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the children, fathers to the children, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I read this scripture, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know why God gave me this scripture. On Sunday night, which is last Sunday, and I'm telling you this because it's very significant in my Jordan crossing. Last Sunday, I was sitting inside my hotel room, and God gave me the grace to slay a giant that was in my face for 6 years. There was a giant that was there that I had to slay, but God gave me the grace to do it. God did it for me. I just had to walk through it. And what it is that when that happened, I knew that I had crossed Jordan. Spiritually, I had crossed over Jordan. And I'm telling you, I'm in a place where I've never been in before. Never in my 25 to 30 years of being a Christian, I have never seen anything like that for my own life. And I knew that when I preached that word on Sunday, I knew that God was going to take me through. God says to me, now you've crossed over, now there's a giant. So if you are taking on some giants this morning, in the last couple of weeks, know that you've crossed over with me. Amen? There's some giants that have come, but God says, they're giants to you, but they're grasshoppers to me. Hallelujah. They're grasshoppers in people of the Joshua generation. They're grasshoppers to Joshua and Caleb. And they said, you have crossed over. And I read the prophecy. Remember, I read the prophecy that came to me? I am taking everything so seriously right now. I'm not just reading it as just another prophecy and shelf it. No, I'm reading it and I'm going back to it again. Because everything that has happened because God has allowed me to cross over Jordan. And I know that you guys, the church, is with me. I know that I believe it because there are people confirming stuff that I have never, ever experienced before. When we come for prayer on Saturday, God confirms things. And I get excited and I encourage you, church, that we need to lift up, pump up the notch of prayer in church. Take it to the next level. 6:30 in the morning, come. Let's pray. Because there is something about God that I now discover in my own walk as a Christian. See, God says to me, you have no luxury whatsoever where you are right now. You've been carrying this giant for 6 years, and it was okay. I gave you the grace to go through that. But today, this giant must die. It has to die. And I'm telling you, I don't have the luxury as your pastor to be carrying anything. Because God says, prepare your hearts. When we preach on righteousness, we talked about God preparing the people's hearts. When Joshua was taking the people across, God says, Joshua, prepare the people. Consecrate them. Get them ready. Because we're going across. And I spoke about this person that Joshua met on the other side of Jordan. He saw there was a fortified city called Jericho. But he saw a man dressed up in the military clothes, and the man said, and Joshua said, are you with us or for against us? And I got excited about that, and I kept studying Joshua. I kept studying the principles that God gave Joshua, and this is the principles that I'm going to give you. And that's the principle that I'm going to be walking by, and you as a church will be walking by it. Amen? Because it's not just for the church, it's for you and your family. It's for you and your neighbor. It's for you and the walk and the purpose that God has given you to walk this and run this race together, Father. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Something happened that changed my perspective. I know that now I'm actually inside Jordan. I'm sorry, crossed over Jordan. I'm on the other side now. I'm in the promised land. And I'm telling you, some of the doors that have never been opened to me before is being opened right now. It's being opened right now. These doors that God shut for all these years and all these months. And I'm wondering, where, why? And then on Sunday, God says, now that you said you've crossed over, now I'm going to take the giants down for you. I am not taking the giants down. You are not going to take the giants down. God is going to do that. And it is a key principle that we're going to talk about. Hallelujah. Let me go to the word now. And I'll start by reading this part of the prophecy that I got. In the prophecy, God said that he will raise insignificant men and women who will be able to birth this move and usher in the revival. You know, I believe this. This move is happening in the heart. This is the key thing I'm going to talk about this morning. It's happening in the heart of men and women, and the shift is inside, making it difficult for the enemy to predict. The enemy will not know what hit him. Hallelujah. This is God's strategy right now for the church. The enemy, or to comprehend, that makes us take the upper hand against the enemy in this season. God operates and works in season. The season for Moses is gone. The season for us crossing the Jordan is gone. The season for the promised land is right here with us right now as a church. And we're going to see God opening some doors. You remember when I said, when I first took on the church, I said, it's a new year. This year is going to be a different year. Hallelujah. Our hearts need to be cleaned up in preparation. Key word. You know, when we were praying here, Pastor John said something really powerful. It's an amazing analogy. He says, you know, when you have a heart attack, your body starts to do things. Some pain starts to happen inside your body to tell you that there's a blockage somewhere. Something is happening to your heart that you need to deal with it physically if it wasn't a heart attack. But when you have a spiritual heart attack, John and I were talking about having spiritual heart attacks. I pray that God will give you some spiritual heart attacks. I mean that. Because then you will know where the blockage is that you need to deal with. Because this is not time for playing church or coming in and listening to some great messages and going out. No, we are going to make some difference in the kingdom of God. And not us, but God himself will do it. But first he says, consecrate yourself. Prepare your hearts. Clean your heart up. Why did I preach about the righteousness when we started the church? God says, clean up the church. I said, I will, God. I will do exactly what you're telling me to do. And I'm saying this because God is going to raise up insignificant people. You're sitting right now. I'm an insignificant guy right now. You know why? Because I have no experience in running a church. Hallelujah. And you know what? I rejoice in that because I know God is the only one that's going to take me through that. God says, I do not want an experienced person because then you will rely on experience. I said, you rely on me. And that is why I'm going to rely on him. And he's teaching me a great lesson in life. And you as a church need to do that as well. Don't lean on your experience. Never go back to your experience. Remember it, treasure it, honor it, respect it, enjoy the legacy that it's been there, but move on. Now we are in a place where God says, I am the commander in chief of this army. I am the one that's going to take it through. Hallelujah. Our hearts have to be prepared. And I pray that God will give us all spiritual heart attacks. I had mine on Sunday night. And I thought, God, what are you doing to me? And I stood in front of that mirror and I wept. And I wept and I wept and I wept. And I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. He started to remind me of things that I needed to get out of my heart. And when I did that, the giant died inside that hotel room. And it's very significant for me as a pastor of this church. Amen? Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5 describes the consecration of the people of Israel. in preparation for the great task that they lay before them. You think you've had enough of Joshua? Well, I got news for you. You're hearing it again today. Because I haven't finished what I was talking about, Joshua. Consecration refers to the heart, the act of dedicating oneself to a specific purpose or intention. To consecrate yourself essentially means to wholly dedicate yourself to something greater, bigger than you and I. Anything that we deal with God is always bigger than you and I. That one thing that when we come to church, we must remember that it is not about you or I, but about the purpose of God. God Himself is the one that we need to look at. It's not about any of us. I don't want no glory. I don't want no crown. I don't know my crown is in heaven. All I want to do is this, God, you know all things about where you're taking us, and you're going to take us through that. And the people are looking at me, so I'm looking at you. Hallelujah. Before Israel was ready to face the enemy, they too needed the similar preparation of the heart and willingness to submit to God's directions that they might also experience His power. To ensure that God took them through several events to instruct them, prepare them for battle. Hallelujah. We are at this stage now, church. I believe it. I know it. It's happening. I feel it in my spirit. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. This is a key principle of how God deals with things. And your enemy, and your my enemy. Hallelujah. To understand spiritual victory, we must always understand that all enemies we face are not our enemies. They're already defeated. God says, the battle cry, my message is actually called, the battle is not yours. The battle is never our battle. It's always God's battle. That is the battle cry of King Jehoshaphat. And it is the battle cry that you and I must always yell out when we go into battle. Because we can all just say, God, this battle is not for us. This is your battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 8 was an act of faith and spiritual preparation. And if you read it, it was talking about Joshua preparing the people before they cross over. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 10, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. One of the key things of winning a battle is always remember what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we take communion, we don't take it lightly. When we pray on Saturday, we break bread and we take communion together. And we celebrate. The Israelites were celebrating the blood of the Lamb that delivered them from Egypt. And we as a church today must always remember that. You do not take just the bread in the church. Take it with your family in the house. Break bread every time and pray. You know, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. All those amazing armors that you put in the belt of righteousness and, you know, and then it says, now pray. Because the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of high places. So God says, after you put on all this amazing armor, now go and pray. Pray without ceasing. Because the armor is there to deflect the arrows of the enemy. But the prayer is your attack against the enemy. When you pray, God moves for you. And He always does. He never fails. His word is always true. He will always stand on His word in everything that He does. And I always love that scripture. It says that God placed, and I keep saying that all the time, God placed His word above Himself. That means that He can trust His word, then you and I can trust His word. Don't trust me, trust His word. I am only but reading His word. And so I can read His word and move along, and you can too. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. The day after the Passover, that every day they ate of the produce of the land and the unleavened bread and the roasted grain. It talks about the manna stopped, but God says, this provision that's going to come, will never stop. But he says one thing, he says, but you will have to fight for it. And I said that in my last sermon before, I said, everything that we do now is a military operation, that we need to fight for it. But do we fight for it? God fights for it. We do the praying. We do the coming together. We do the worshiping together. God says, Joshua, everything's going to change now. Put the musicians in front, all the army at the back. We're going to do this my way, because I am the one that's going to win the battle for you. Hallelujah. I am the commander and the chief of the army, and I will lead you. And before you do that, put everybody else behind, put the musicians in front. And now walk around Jericho and shut up. Very specific word. It says, I am tired of you stiff-necked people talking and complaining and murmuring and groaning and complaining in the desert. This is a different generation now. Everybody, shut up. God is going to do something miracle. God is going to create a miracle for us. Amen. And they walked across that place 7 times, hallelujah, without even saying a word. And then the final day, they gave out a big shout. And the walls of Jericho didn't crumble in, it crumbled out. If you study history, and if you go to study the walls of Jericho and how the fortified city of Jericho, it didn't crumble in. It crumbled out. Somebody inside that army, inside that place, pushed the wall out. It was the angelic host of heaven that did the fighting for Joshua and the people of Israel. And that is where we are right now. If you are going through some things right now, if there is a giant that you're facing, is there a fortified city in your life right now? Let God be the commander and the chief for that battle. Hallelujah. The battle is not ours. It belongs to Him. That is the battle cry. It is His war, His battle. He'll fight it for us. Amen? When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man. This is very interesting. He saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. And in his hand, Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? And the man says, neither. He replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Hallelujah. When Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua was there studying and spying on Jericho. And in his heart, he's saying, how am I going to take this city? You and I are like that sometimes. When we see an obstacle, there's a problem in our family, and we're looking at it and we're going, God, how am I going to deal with this thing? Am I right, or am I the only one that does all that? You know, when you go through stuff, that's a Joshua. That is a Jericho in your life. Joshua was studying it. You know, and the army of Israel never trained for war. They were just slaves that just came out, and the generation crossed Jordan with its slingshots and spears and forks, what do you call it, the picks and forks, and gardening tools. They were not ready for this war. And so Joshua was studying the Jericho wall, and he says, how do I get into that place? I don't have a battering ram or a scaling ladder or, you know, one of those things that sling the stones into the fortress, and all this equipment that you need to batter a wall. He doesn't have that. So while he was studying it, a man came and stood beside him. And he turned around and says, are you for us or against us? And the man says, no, I'm not. And God made a very specific statement that day. He says, Joshua, he says, I'm not for you or I'm not for anybody. I'm here to lead this battle. I am now taking charge, Joshua. So stand aside, put the priest in front, get the worship going, and everybody shut up. Let's gonna do it. I'm gonna do the miracle on this wall. Hallelujah. And so Joshua, as soon as Joshua turned around and saw it, the Bible says he fell down on his face. And it's a sign of worship, and it's a sign of prayer. And he looked up at this man and he says, what have you got for me to do? He asked straight away instructions. It is a key principle that when you and I go through something, stop. Stop yelling, jumping, screaming, looking around for something. Stop and say, God, what have you got me to do? What is it that you want me to do? These are the questions that you and I should ask before any battle or in the midst of any battle. When you're inside something, when you're about to yell at someone or yell at your boss or throw something at someone, stop and say, God, what have you got for me right now? I used to like what Pastor Bill says. He says that in the middle of tragedy, in the middle of problems, we need to stop and say, God, what are you teaching me right now? Everything that we do as the people of God is always a lesson to be learned. And God is always teaching. God never stops teaching us. If you're going through some stuff right now, He's teaching you something. And Joshua remembered that. Joshua stopped and he says, God, what have you got for me? Straight away. Because he knows that he couldn't take that city. And God gave him specific instructions to do so. Hallelujah. We picked the story up and it's amazing what the army of the Lord did on that wall of Jericho. Because the history shows that the wall never crumbled inside, it crumbled out. And so you know that there's an angel behind you every time you pray. I spoke about angels every time. Right now we're in the place that we're about to face some giants. And we're going to take those giants down, amen? But not on our own strength, but the battle cry of King Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. The question to you is this. Is there a Jericho in your life? Is there some place in your heart right now that needs to be dealt with? That is a very valid question before we move into other battles. Hallelujah. As a church. Amen. But this is not just for the church. This is for you and your family. For you first and your family and then the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5 verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was in Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing beside him. The man's position, I'm talking about the principles now. The man's position, standing with a sword drawn, suggested that he was there to fight. But he wasn't there to fight for either side. God says, I am taking over. When I sat in that hotel room on Sunday, that's how I felt, that God was taking over. Because I could not deal with this giant for 6 years. And when God took it over, He says, now you know that I can do this. I can do this for you. So whatever giant that you're going through right now, that you're coming against right now, let God deal with it. Let Him, give him the space to move so that He can deal with it for you. He can give you the grace to go through this. But He will deal with the giant Himself. Because you are not going to fight it. Amen. The standing position of this man is very important. Joshua's question was, are you for us or against us? Joshua's question reveals the typical mindset of us Christians every time. We forget that this battle is God's. But sometimes we want to drag. Let me just rephrase that. Here's what the mindset is. We tend to see the battles that we face as our battles and the forces that we face as our own forces, right? Against us. If we are truly standing in the cause of Christ, there is another sense in which that this is not simply true. Because it's God's battle. God will take you through this battle Himself. He is the one that's going to fight this battle for you. And that's our mindset must change. Our mindset must say, God, it's yours to take. Not me. I will not stand in front of you. I will step back and let you take on this battle for me. Let's have this mindset from now on when we walk. Don't jump up and say something that's going to throw you right back to where you were before. Wait upon God. Allow Him to do things. And you know, His timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. In the fullness of time, He will sort everything out for you. Patience is a wonderful thing. It's one of the fruits. Hallelujah. Sometimes we wonder, why God did you put patience in there? Some of us don't have patience. We want to just run ahead of God, run before Him and do everything. And then you find yourself in a place where you're not supposed to be. Hallelujah. It's very strategic battle plans. Amen. Hallelujah. The answer that the man gave, Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. And he said, "No, as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." The answer comes in two parts. The first is what? Flat no. God says, "No, I am not here for you or for them or for anybody. I'm here to lead this thing so that you can follow me." Hallelujah. The man with the drawn sword said, "Neither. I'm not here to take sides, yours or that of anyone else." The second part of the answer that he gives was what? "I am here not to take sides, but to take over and take charge of the command, because I am the commander of the Lord's army." Hallelujah. The commander of the Lord's army is here. When this thing happened to me, I thought, "God, now I'm just going to really step back and let you do everything now. I'm going to trust you to finish the work that you've started in this church." Amen? And so I am ready to take on a few more other cities and a few more other giants and a few more other things that are going to be thrown in our face. But you are going to be standing with me. Amen? We're going to take this thing together. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be looking for crowns because our crowns have already been in heaven. Hallelujah. You and I are going to serve and do what God has purposed us to be here. The strategic place that you are right now is where God placed you. Can I say that again? The strategic place that God has placed you is where He wants you to be. I am saying that with all zeal and a prophecy, because I know, and I said before, God's going to raise up insignificant people. There are people that are going to move, and there are people that are going to move back in. Why? Because that's God's doing. I am not going to do it. God is going to do it. Because God Himself is positioning, and that's the word, repositioning His church and repositioning His people, ready for the move of God. You know, this move has been given a month. The second time I went to PNG, and I got the month of when this thing's going to start. And I'm waiting for Russell to confirm with me, because I want to confirm this thing before I speak it. Hallelujah. I love Russell. He comes up with something, because, you know, some things that he said is fulfilled, has been fulfilled. You know, this move that's going to come is going to be more faster and quicker than you and I can sow. You are going to be, the sowers are still sowing and the harvest will be here. It's going to be so quick. And so God says, before any of this can happen, we need to prepare our hearts. I am not here to play church. I am positioning myself for a strategic move of God. I am. And I know that you will too. And I'm encouraging you as a church that we must stand together, because a lot of churches they're going to miss out on this. Why? You know, when people say to me, "This move," and I know that this move is for the body of Christ, but for the body of Christ, that the hearts are in the right place. Whenever God wants to do something, He says, "Consecrate yourself, prepare yourself." Where? In your heart. This is where everything happens, right here, not in here, here. And He says, "Prepare it, prepare it, prepare it. Get it ready. Get a spiritual attack so that you can know where the blockage is and get rid of the blockage so that you can be free to move." Hallelujah. I am the most freest guy right now in my own Christian walk as a pastor as well. I have nothing. I cannot stand on anything else except God. I don't have any luxury to have an offense against anybody. I don't have that. I have to prepare my heart for something, because I've seen something. And I said before, I said, "Do not believe in what you see, but what you saw." Believe in what you saw, because what you see is only temporary. You're going to cross over that thing and head for what you saw. That's the promise that God has for you and I. Whatever it is that you have seen, believe in that. That's faith. That is faith. We are talking faith. We are talking of some of the most amazing people that have stand on that and say, "I am going to walk across. But I will believe in what I saw, not what I see." And so this thing, God keeps saying to me, "Prepare your heart. First you, and then tell everybody to prepare their hearts." So I cannot stretch it any more further than this, that prepare yourself for this. God's given a month. I don't want to say the month yet. I want to wait till I get a confirmation. I think God's speaking to you, Russell. Hallelujah. That's why prayer is very important. when we come Saturday morning prayer is just going to the next level now. We're pumping up, we're taking it up a notch. Come, 5 minutes, 1 hour, one minute, just walk in, pray, walk out. Come. When we pray together, something happens. We are praying together for the good of the church. Hallelujah. And so when you deal with something that belongs to God, God will deal with the things that you needed to be dealt with. Hallelujah. That's his principle. Straight away, straight down the line. The first principle, it was not for Joshua to claim God's allegiance for his cause, no matter how right and holy it might be. God chose to be the leader and the commander of this army, not Joshua. Joshua needed to acknowledge God's claim over him for God's purpose. All he had to do was align himself. That's the word again. All Joshua had to do was align himself with God. You and I, that's all we have to do. Align ourselves. How do we do that? The heart. Again, deal with the heart. It aligns you directly in God's path, and so that you can walk together with God. You know, the word of God came to Jehoshaphat, and the only thing the prophet says was, Jehoshaphat, position yourself, ready for something. Do not worry about who's coming against you. You've already called my name, and I've heard you. The reply was swift, and then he says, now position yourself and see me deliver you from this battle, because the battle is not yours. Hallelujah. That's the word again. That's the battle cry again. Hallelujah. That is our battle cry. That is your battle cry. When you pray, you say, God, this battle is not for me. It's your battle. God, my children's going through some situations at the moment. It is not my battle. It's yours. God, I'm having some drug problems here right now. It is not my problem, but yours. And God deals with it. You know, when I came back and I shared this story with a really dear brother of mine, and I won't mention any names, but you know, this man, as the shortest fuse, it only takes one thing and it lights up. You know, I said, God killed a giant. I'm in a place of forgiveness and repentance and at this place where God's taking me through. You know, he said to me, he said, Pastor, I need to go and do something. So he's on his way now to do reconciliation with those that he has hurt. And hurt, I mean, the guy hurt some people. And I don't want to mention names. I'm only saying this because when I came back and spoke that, it done something in his heart. I sat across the table from him and I just said, this is what God did to me. And he said, wow, I need to go and get that done too. I said, go. It's a good thing. Because then God will open up the doors that has been closed for you for how many years you've been praying, saying, God, I prayed. You know, this thing doesn't come out by what? Just praying, but by fasting and praying. And he did. And I was so blessed. I said, thank you, God. And if I'm standing here talking to you right now, and if there's something in your heart that needs to be dealt with, then let's deal with it today. Today, it's going to be dealt with here. You're not going to walk out of the door without this thing being dealt with. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be done here. And you watch what God is going to do when we all get ourselves and position ourselves ready for what he's about to do. He's going to fight the battle. We just position ourselves and look good. And let him do everything. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? Yes. Don't go quiet on me now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mama. We're going to pray for Mama Alice too. No, it's a good thing. We're going to pray for you. That God will give you a good place for you when you move. And yeah. I adopted her. And she had already adopted Judith. And so Judith says, how does it work? Well, a three chord connected together is always strong. She said that. I adopted her. I said, don't call me pastor anymore. I'm not your pastor. I'm your son. And she sat there, nearly had tears in her eyes. I said, good. Have we got that settled? She goes, yeah. Now that, let's go and do God's work. Hallelujah. You must always honor the older people before you. In my country, everybody that's older is my mother. Everybody that's older than me is my auntie. Amen. And that's God's principles. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to close now. I said that before? No, I didn't. Our battle cry must be this. Battle is the Lord's. That is the battle cry. Write that on a wall in your house and stick it on the wall. The battle is yours, Lord. When you get your bills and you're running short of money and you're looking at your account and you go, you fold that thing up, you put a folder. I'm telling you this is the principle. Put a little envelope, stick it on the wall and says, the battle is yours. And then take this bill and stick it in there. You get any bills or anything that's coming against you, take it in, put it inside that little envelope and say, the battle is yours. He's going to fight the battle for you. Hallelujah. Do you think I'm just saying this because it's a great idea? No. It came from the Word of God and it's been proven. Hallelujah. We always say something in PNG, prove it live. Talk is cheap. Hallelujah. That's God's Word. I'm going to stand on it. When I did that thing, everything opened up for me. And I said, God, why did it take 6 years? I said, you were not ready for it. Now I'm ready for it. The moment I stood here and preached about crossing the Jordan, God says, now, deal with that thing. And you got to deal with it. And there's a few things coming. There's a reconciliation, I'm letting you know, that's coming, that I will be doing something very significant and prophetic for myself and the church. And we're going to do it here in the church. We'll let you know. We'll invite you. Come and witness something that's going to be so powerful. Hallelujah. I am going to wash the feet of the person that I've had grievance against for 6 years. And he's not just a person, he's a pastor. And I believe that God placed him in a place. I realize now that I've been with him for 14 years for a purpose. And when we sat down and talked, I wept, forgive me. I didn't realize the spiritual meaning of everything that has happened, but now I know. Why? Because I killed a giant. And I've been set free from this thing. And I said, now I want to wash your feet. Why? Because Jesus said to Peter, and God gave me this. God gave me this when I was sitting on the plane coming back and I was weeping on the plane. And he said, go back and wash his feet. Because when Jesus washed Peter's feet, Peter says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to untie my sandals. I should be the one washing your feet. Jesus said, shut up, Peter. If I don't wash your feet, you cannot come into the house and eat with me. God says, wash his feet so that he can come into your house. That's one thing that you and I can do. You know, washing the feet is biblical and so powerful. Don't just say sorry to someone. Go and wash his feet. Sit down with him. If you have something in your heart against someone, don't make your decisions and base your opinions based on emotions. Base it on the Word of God and base it on confirmation. Invite that person to your house. Sit down with him. Find out from him. Don't make something up before you even know him. And if you have something against someone, deal with it. Hallelujah. It's strong, I know. It's strong words. But it's good for us. If I can do that, then you can do it too. And watch God do something in this church that you and I have never seen before. I have said already, you know, Joshua, let God fight for him. Gideon, let God fight for him. God did something with Gideon. He says, too many people. I only need 300. You know, God can do that. A small, insignificant church can make an impact in the city. Only if we get our hearts together right and position ourselves so that God can move. God cannot move if we are carrying stuff all the time with us. If you're carrying offense, get rid of it. God is not going to do anything with you unless you get rid of that thing. God needs a vessel that's clean and ready to fire. All the barrels in the gun has to be cleaned, ready to go. And you're an arrowhead in the end times that God has already purposed. You're not sitting in a church warming a pew. You are here for a purpose. Amen. And I keep saying that all the time. Hallelujah. John chapter 19, verse 10. I want to finish with this. And that's a word that God gave me. John chapter 19, verse 10. Pilate said to Jesus, you will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, I love Jesus. He said, you would not have no authority over me unless it's been given from above. This is God's word to us as a church. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing will touch you. Nothing will come against you and prosper. Nothing. Because you know why? It can only be given from the above. Only God can release that for you. If God wants you to go, He will. But if He's not, then it's not been given from above. Jesus said, you have no authority over me. If you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire for God, nothing will touch you. Nothing. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus and you're just sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to think about it, well, you are not, you're experimenting with life, and life is not yours to experiment with. And we need to deal with this situation here. Before that word can become real to you, then you need to understand that you've got to align yourself with God and His purpose. Jesus said, you have no power or authority over me unless it's been given to you from above. Hallelujah. Pilate's authority to crucify Jesus did not intimidate him. Why? Because Pilate's authority, this is good, Pilate's authority over Jesus is what? Subordinate to God's authority. God is more higher than Pilate. And God allowed Pilate to do all these things because He says, yeah, it has to be done because I need my son to be on the cross. But I am in control of all situations. Hallelujah. Every attack that you get from the enemy is all subordinate above. God is above all that. And God will allow some things to happen to us, to shake us a little bit, to move us. But do not be intimidated by that. The devil is good at intimidating people. That's all he does. That's all he can do, church. But he cannot touch you. You know what the word of God says? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. Why? Because it is your heritage. I believe that. I believe that. And it shall not touch you. Why? Because unless it's given from above, then it will touch you. Jesus said, you have no authority over me. That is the word that you need to give to the devil right now, today. You can say to the devil in his face, you have no authority over me unless it's been given from above. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Get excited. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Which means our comfort comes from what? Not from the powerlessness of our enemies, but from our Father's sovereign rule over all the situations. When you and I know that God is doing His battle for you and I, nothing can move you. Nothing. I can promise you that. Why? Because it's in this word. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done. That's something that I really wanted to release. I've crossed over Jordan, and I know you crossed over with me. And now we're going to take on some giants. They look like giants, but they're really grasshoppers. We can, yeah. Okay? Don't worry about what's going to happen to you. Don't worry about what's going to happen. This church is going to rise above everything. You know, they predicted that this church is going to die when Pastor Bill leave. It's not my church. It's not people's church. It's nobody's church but God's church. That's a mandate ordained by God, and it's going to go through until He comes to take us home. Amen. And you and I are going to serve Him with joy, with so much joy in our hearts that people think we're crazy. And the revival is going to come. It's going to start here. Hallelujah. You know, when you see Russell and Peter start dancing, you know it's here. Because they've... Because they've moved from the back to the front, and revival is already here. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if they start dancing, yeah. Hallelujah. I love these guys. Thank you, Lord. Can I have the music team up, please? We're gonna spend some time, and I want to pray. I want to release something above you. I want to release something that will enable you to be able to stand through as we go across to the promised land, our spiritual promised land. We've crossed Jordan together. And I'm going to just pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the vision of the church. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given us. Father, we are all but just stewards of all the things that you've given us. We're just pilgrims passing through. But God, we know that you've given us something that we may be able to steward, look after. And Lord, allow your spirit to move amazingly inside the church. Father, I bring that before you this morning. And I thank you. Can I have Jason up, please? Jason, can you come and sing this song? We're going to sing a song, Anointing Fall Upon Me. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Please stand up, church. Thank you, Lord. Come, leaders, we're going to release something to the church this morning. I believe that. I'm going to stand on it, and I'm moving by faith with this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you all to speak in tongues. If you can speak in tongues tonight, this morning, start praying. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Anointing fall on me.
Oh, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
Come on, lift your hands up, church. If you're going through some stuff this morning, if you're going through some things this morning, lift your hands and receive this morning. Lift your hands and receive this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Let the power of the Holy fall on me. Fall on me.
Come on, church. Hallelujah.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. God, there's an anointing right now that you've poured upon your people that will break every yoke, everything that has been in their path, oh God. When we crossed over together, Lord, we know that there's giants to be taken on. But Father, your word says, and the battle cry says, the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. And Lord, today, as your people raise their hands, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I release, oh God, release, oh God, your anointing upon them right now, Father. Lord, I thank you for restoration that will come. Lord, I thank you for the restoration that is coming to their hearts right now. Lord, I thank you for relationship restoration, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the relationship with the bosses and the workplace, oh God, with the families, with the fathers and the children, oh God. You said that you will bring the hearts of the people bring your, the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. Lord, this morning I thank you. Mend our hearts, oh God. Mend our hearts only by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for your people this morning. Lord, I pray that their word will sit there, that it will take fruit, that it will bear fruit, oh God, upon their lives. Father, let that refreshing, anointing touch come upon them right now, Father. That will allow them, oh God, that grace that you've given us, that will be allowed to overcome everything that is in our path. God, not because we can do it, oh God, but because you will do it for us. And Father, I thank you. Lord, you know each and every person in this room this morning. You know their hearts. You know their situations, oh God. You know where they are right now with you. You know where they are. Father, today I pray the same thing that you did to me in this hotel room, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I release it right now, right now, right now, God, upon your people. Thank you, Lord. You know their hearts. You know their hearts. And you deal with them right now. Father, we pray. We pray and we release that in no other name but the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. If you have not received Christ Jesus in your life, come. You need to receive Christ right now. This is not a time to play around with God. This is not a if you're backslidden, come. This is not a time to be sitting on a fence and thinking everything is fine, because this is not going to be fine. And if you've given your heart to Jesus, then you're okay. But if you're not, come. If you've walked away from him, come. I'm going to pray with you and bring you back to your creator and the maker, the very person, the very God that created you and gave you a name, the very God that created your spirit. The word of God says in Jeremiah 1:5 that even before you were in your mother's womb, you were in with God. God created that same spirit and placed it in your mother's womb. You were not born to be just a nobody. You were born for a purpose. You were given a purpose. That is why you have life. If you're sitting here and breathing right now and do not know Jesus, you need Jesus right now. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you. Come. Come forward. We're going to give you some time. Give some time for the Holy Spirit to move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shirababakashalaba. Thank you, Lord.